Are you feeling lost in the stock market? Do you dream of building long-term wealth without the constant roller coaster ride? Well, buckle up, because we're here to crack open Joel Greenblatt's investment classic and unlock some super-duper secrets. Okay, well, those are at least the claims of the book that we're going over today. The book is called The Little Book That Still Beats the Market. That is the sequel to the very popular The Little Book That Beats the Market. I read the update recently, the second edition, and I'm going to find out if this is some dusty relic from a bygone era, or whether Joel Greenblatt's simple yet powerful strategies will continue to stand the test of time. I'm really hoping that they offer a clear path for everyday investors to outperform the market like he promises. So today I'm going to be dissecting Greenblatt's core concept, which is the magic formula. And the formula isn't about chasing hot stocks or market trends. It's about identifying wonderful businesses at bargain basement prices. So we're hopefully looking to buy quality companies when they're on sale. That's basically, if that's all you want to hear today, you can hang up, you can stop listening, because that's basic the thesis for the magic formula. But I think we've got some entertainment and a little bit of knowledge to learn today as well. So I'm going to break down the magic formula step by step. I'm going to teach you how to find these, quote, hidden gems using clear metrics and common sense approach. And by when I say I'm going to teach you, I'm just regurgitating the information that I remember from the book, the little book that beats the market. Anyway, there's no mountains of financial jargon. There's no super complex things. We're just looking at whether you're an investing newbie or a seasoned pro looking to refine your strategy. This is some ideas from the book that I have been learning and I am hopeful for, and we'll see what happens. All right. So you're listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date market trends, income streams, and all the other things in the world so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley. Let's get into it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you didn't pick up on all that we just said, we are going over a book that I read in January. It's called The Little Book That Still Beats the Market. And many people who have read this short little book, they know that the main takeaway is the quote-unquote magic formula. But the book it's more than just a formula. It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking about the stock market that emphasizes patience and discipline and long-term perspective, things that I am not good at. That's my investing thorn in my side, if you will. So let's start off with, who is Joel Greenblatt and why should we pay attention to him and or read his book? So Joel Greenblatt is a multifaceted figure in the world of finance. Say that three times fast. He wears many hats as a successful investor, a seasoned academic, and a prolific author. Greenblatt's primary claim to fame is his book that we're talking about today, but he's got some other good books that were pretty popular. I think all three of his books hit the New York Times bestsellers, which is pretty cool. His strategy emphasizes, again, buying stocks in high-quality companies at bargain prices. He focuses on intrinsic value rather than the current market price, and we're going to talk about what that means. Beyond his investment prowess, Greenblatt is also a longtime professor at Columbia Business School. If you don't know, Columbia Business School is in New York City. That is where many famed investors have come out of very recently, in like 1960, I guess. Warren Buffett was a Columbia Business grad, as well as his buddy and mentor, Benjamin Graham. So Columbia Business School has a long history of producing value-based investors. Where Joel has shared his value investing wisdom with countless students at Columbia Business School, he has also shared it with us via this book. He is actively involved in philanthropy, particularly involved in focusing on improving educational opportunities for underserved communities. Joel Greenblatt isn't just about making the dollars. He's passionate about empowering others and fostering a more equitable financial landscape, at least according to his website. So there's no getting around it. Joel is a rich dude, but did he get rich off charging really high fees? Or did he get rich by being actually a good investor? Well, Greenblatt's performance as a money manager is a bit of a mixed bag. Let's review. He had some early success. His track record is impressive in his early years. He managed this place called Gotham Capital, which is a hedge fund, from 1985 to 1994. He achieved exceptional returns. Some sources say 50% annually. Sources say because hedge funds don't always have to produce their income streams way back in the day. I think they do now in the form of a 13F. Anyway, let's move on. This was during a great bull market. If you didn't know, 85 to 94 was a strong bull market, but still, even a great bull market, I would love to do 50% annually, especially while picking undervalued stocks. Some of his later performance, things get a little bit murkier at Gotham Capital. Greenblatt closed Gotham in 1995 and hasn't disclosed much about his performance since. His book, The Magic Formula Strategy, has been backtested, and it shows strong results, but real-world application with his later firm, Gotham Asset Management, didn't live up to those 50% per year numbers, and some reports show underperformance compared to the market since the book's launch in 2006. Overall, Greenblatt's early success as a money manager is undeniable. However, past performance doesn't indicate future results, and his later performance was a little bit murky, as well as his value philosophy. We're not really sure, and that's what we're digging into today. Is his philosophy sound, and is this something that we can learn from? So let's talk about the book itself. The first edition was released December 31st, 1999, the heyday of the dot-com boom. If you're too wrong to remember the dot-com boom, welcome to the show. We're glad you're listening. It was a time when the market, you could basically buy any company that had a website, a dot-com, and it would double in a few months or so. Evaluations were crazy high. The S&P 500's P-E ratio, reminder that is price to earnings, and that helps you tell whether a stock is a good value or not, or maybe overpriced or not. Historically, the price to earnings ratio, the P-E, for the S&P 500 trades about 20 to 21. In 1999, the P-E for all 500 companies was trading at over 44, so it's two times as expensive as normal years. In the midst of this crazy evaluation period, Joel writes this book about value investing. Like when value investing is the most out of vogue thing in the world, he's like, hey, I'm a little Columbia business nerd, and I'm going to write a book about value investing. Well, turns out it works. Because Benjamin Graham's, Warren Buffett's, the really good dude in India that I can't remember his name, like some of my heroes in investing are value investors. They're not riding like the hot fad. They are looking for value in a company. So Greenblatt writes this book right when the whole world is saying, buy.com. Ben Graham is like, hey, don't forget about me. And Joel Greenblatt writes this book in kind of like the motif of Benjamin Graham, The Wisdom of Value Investing. So like I said, I read the book earlier this year and it fits how I want to be an investor. In essence, the book made a simple formula of how a true business really works, and things that generate cash flow typically grow in terms of stock price and valuation. So most importantly, the book teaches you how you can translate the basic business fundamentals, like is there good revenue, do they have a lot of debt, things like that, and then will this turn into a good stock price and therefore an overall good evaluation of a company? Let me give you an example. Tesla. They can be an exciting, groundbreaking technology, one of the biggest things in the world. The whole media is talking about it, and maybe Tesla is the future of driving. However, they can also have an absurdly overpriced stock. So you got to think this every time you're beginning to get on the hype train of the next Tesla or Nvidia or Meta, whatever it is at the time, look yourself in the mirror and say, it is not what you buy, it is what you pay. You might be buying a stock that's going up, but you're paying a high price. Will it continue to go up? And more importantly, is it worth it? Joel Greenblatt's goal was to create a simplified investment strategy for new and inexperienced investors and give you a blueprint for investing that he considers looking at undervalued companies with good upside and little downside. He spent $30 million backtesting this strategy, and that compares companies on two main metrics, really the price to earnings ratio, we talked about the PE ratio, and then it also looks at the return on invested capital, ROIC. Physically, when you're looking at the money of a company, it looks at how do they make money on the money that they're borrowing. So when the business goes to the bank, let's say it's IBM, terrible example, but IBM, that's what I said. So IBM goes to the bank and they borrow money at 6%. If you're buying IBM stock, you want to know that IBM is going to take that 6% that they borrowed and turn that into like 15% so that they're getting an 11% return on capital invested. Otherwise, it's just worth it to buy the S&P 500 because the S&P is going to give you like 9 or 10%. So you need that business to be able to get a good return on invested capital. So Greenblatt gives us some guidance on how to buy great companies at a great price. And, you know, really why though? Like why? It's exciting to read a dude and, you know, he's a really rich guy and he's done well for himself. But is he truly like, does he have the grit? Like what is his name out there recognition? Well, when you listen to other great value investors in the world, people like William Green and Manesh, this is the guy from India I was thinking of earlier, who is a Warren Buffett clone. He's like the Warren Buffett of India. When you listen to them talk about Greenblatt, they have great respect for Joel Greenblatt. So when two of the great value investors in the world kind of give a thumbs up on Joel Greenblatt, I think it's worth looking into the principles that he is putting forth, especially because this isn't rocket science. He's just trying to simplify, don't overpay, and make sure that the company is good at investing the money that they have. So in the second edition of the book in 2005, he backtested for 17 years. And in that 17-year period, the testing outperformed the market by 18%, the market being the S&P 500. And let me repeat that because I said that kind of fast. In 17 years, the magic formula, which is a terrible name, by the way, outperformed the S&P 500 by 18%. Not a return of 18%, outperformed by 18%. When you bought small cap stocks using the magic formula, your average return over 17 years was 30.8% compared to the S&P 500 over that same time of 12.3%. So during that time, $10,000 invested over those 17 years turns into almost $1 million compared to $10,000 put in the S&P 500 turned into $70,000. Yeah, that's a lot more money. It doesn't even like sound right. Right? Those figures are crazy, but that is what happens when you can compound, invest, and you can really gain a few extra percent. It really adds up. So do you want to beat the market by 18% and generate 30% returns per year? I know I do. 30% a year is crazy each year. Using the rule of 72, which tells you how quickly you can double your money at any given rate of return, with a 30% per year return, you double your money every 2.4 years. So in a 10-year time, $10,000 goes to 20, then goes to 40, then goes to 80, and finally at year 10, you'd hit $160,000. So do you want 30% per year? Yes. Yes, you do. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to find out if this book is all smoke and mirrors. Does it really work in real life? So I looked into some people who have actually tried this theory, people who have invested their own money in this theory, and then I want to give you a step-by-step instructions for if we're actually interested of what exactly the Greenblatt magic formula is. So we will be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, welcome back. So before we hear from some actual users of the system, let's go over what the system is. Here is a step-by-step instructions to invest using the magic formula. But first, remember all the information provided on this podcast is for infotainment purposes only and only invest money that you can risk investing and do your own research. Okay, step by step. Here we go. Numero uno. You can go to magicformulainvesting.com. Step two, choose a company size of 50 million or bigger. Step three, follow the instructions on the website. get the list of top-ranked Magic Formula companies. You can select either 20, I think you can select 30 or 50 companies, sorry. And then you're going to select 5 or 7 of the list of, let's say, 30. And you're going to buy those companies. You're going to spend 20 to 30% of the capital that you intend to invest, and you're going to buy those 5 or 7 companies. Then, every 2 to 3 months, you go back in and you buy 5 or 7 different companies. And then 2 or 3 more months, you go back in and you buy 5 or 7 other companies. And this should end up with a portfolio of at least 20 to 30 stocks over the year. So every 3 months, you're buying 5 or 7 companies until you've built up this basically ETF of these Magic Formula companies. Then, after 1 year, you sell the stocks. So let's say you started in January and you bought 7 companies. Next January, you're going to sell 7 companies. But in the meantime, 3 months later, you'd bought 7 more. So then 3 months later, after a year, you're going to sell 7 more, and then yada, yada, yada. So every quarter, you're selling 7 companies and you're buying 7 companies. So you have to, you know, do a little bit of research that requires some buys and sells 4 times a year. So that's step 6. Step 7, repeat this every year with the money from your selling. Again, the buying, the selling, the buying, the 7. And then step 8, continue this process for many years until you are old and rich. This is what the book says. It sounds easy enough, right? Like, but if you're like me, you find investing to be challenging and stimulating, and it's an interest that you have, and you don't want to just throw some money at a name that might sound like a scam, because, by the way, the word Magic Formula isn't exactly a great name for something. However, it is great for screening. So what I did before this podcast and after reading the book, I went to the Magic Formula. It spit out the 30 companies, and then I took those ticker symbols and I went to a different website to evaluate intrinsic value of the companies. And guess what? Like 25 out of the 30 were in a fair market value, i.e., they were currently underpriced what the company was actually worth. And according to Benjamin Graham and Warren Buffett, that means that they're worth looking into, at least putting on your list of companies that you want to further evaluate. So is there at least something to the Magic Formula? Yeah. When you're looking at price to earnings, like a company has a low PE ratio and they have a high return on invested capital, that typically means it's a good value and they have some good management. So at least doing a little bit of research, it looks like when I looked into this, I think like mid-February, most of the companies, 85-90% of the companies, had a good intrinsic fair market value to purchase right now. And many of them had a lot of upside that could continue to grow. So one way of using Joel Greenblatt's information and going to Magic Formula is to use it as a stock screener. You can immediately find 30 or 50 companies that have a low PE ratio and have a high return on invested capital. That's one way. Or you could do it some of these YouTubers I did. I came across some YouTubers that actually followed along. They followed the system. They went through steps 1 through 8. And for a couple of years, they invested their own money. And here are the results. YouTuber René Selman, I think he's Swedish. He was the first negative review I found. His video from 2021 talked about how he was excited about the great performance from the original book and the high returns, and he got excited, and then he jumped into things. However, Renee points out that the Magic Formula, in his eyes, seems to have lost its magic, and its great run of outperforming the S&P 500 has come to an end. He quotes in the YouTube video that according to the American Association of Individual Investors, they have been running a study on the Magic Formula from 2005 to 2021, when Renee posted this video, and they show that the Magic Formula from 2005 to 2020 had an annualized return of only 6.5%. So over 15 years, 6.5%, not exactly crushing the market. In fact, the S&P 500 on average during that time was 10.1%, which is about in line with what the S&P 500 really does over a 10 or 20 year period. So no big, you know, shock there. So you're kind of doing all this work, like you're buying 7 stocks and selling 7 stocks every quarter for 15 years, and you only come up with a 6.5% return. Not exactly great. However, you made some money, but let's identify what's going on within those years. And when you look at the individual investments of the Magic Formula over those years, like there's some pretty crazy numbers year by year. In 2006, the Magic Formula was up almost 28%. And then 07 and 08, not sure if you were following, the great financial crisis was happening then, didn't do so great. Magic Formula down 5%, Magic Formula down 36%. But what happened in 2009? The Magic Formula was up 97%. Yeah, you heard me right, 97%. And then you got 2010, 26.5%. 2011, down 30%. Yikes. 2012, up 8. 2013, up almost 28. Up 2014, down 16. 2015, down 13. 2016, up 16. 2017, up 17. 2018, down 4. 2019, down 8. And 2020, down 12. Now, we all know 2020 was bad. First of all, 97% is crazy. I would like to go back to 19 or 2009 and just do the Magic Formula. But it kind of seems like a bit of a roller coaster, right? You're up and you're down and you're up and you're down. There's some big years. There's some small years. Like, so what's up, Joel? Like in the book, he's telling us he's getting 30% returns. I mean, I'd even take 15%. 15% is a great return, but 6.7 with some pretty huge down years. Like that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. I'd rather, to be honest, just buy an index fund or buy a couple index funds and not do any of the buying and selling every quarter. But those results only take us to 2020. And as we know, things got a little weird in 2020, and then things got pretty wild after 2020. So what has been going on since? So I did some more digging, and I found another YouTuber nerd who actually is based in Ohio like I am. And he read Joel's book in 2020 when it was down 12%. And he liked the idea so much that he sold $150,000 of his stock portfolio that he called, quote, hot tip stocks. And I'm sure he's thinking about like Tesla and Apple and Amazon, the whole gambit. Basically, whenever the newspaper is talking about something or Twitter's talking about a stock, those are like the hot tip stocks. This dude took 150 grand of his own money, sold all those, and he put it into the Magic Formula in 2020. And guess what? It's now 2024. Here are his results. He did a first video. So he started investing July 2020. And from July 2020 to July 2021, the S&P 500 did well. Actually, it did very well. The index returned 38.4%. Everything was going great from July to July. I mean, the market-wise. I mean, COVID was pretty bad. I had it twice, not a lot of fun. Anyway, let's get back to the Magic Formula. When the Magic Formula in 2020 was saying to buy stocks like the Discovery Channel, Hewlett-Packard, and Altria Group, this dude's one-year return in 2020 was 48.92%. Again, the market did 38, he did 48. His $150,000 ballooned to $250,000. That's $250,000 for those of you who are following along. He followed the formula, and he sold his stocks after a year, and then he bought new stocks in year two. He added companies like Tupperware. Yes, Tupperware. Like, I didn't know they were still a company. I know that my mom has Tupperware still in her cabinet from 1974. Did not know that they were a publicly traded company. Anyway, in 2021, this dude added Tupperware. He added Dick's Sporting Goods. Yes, that's a real store. It's in America. They sell guns and stuff. And he bought more Hewlett-Packard, and he bought a company called The Buckle and Sleep Number, the company that makes beds. Some stocks did well, and some stocks did terrible. But since a billionaire developed the systems, this dude was like, hey, I'm just going to stick to the plan. So what were the results in year two? Well, 2020 was a bad year for everyone. I don't know if you noticed that. July to July, the S&P was down over 12%, and the Magic Formula stocks were down 19%, which doesn't feel great. In a bull market, the Magic Formula smoked the S&P 500. In a bear market, he lost a little bit more than the market. Overall, year two, like when you include year one and year two, his return was 26.3%, which is 13.1% per year, which still beats the market, but not by a whole lot. The same year to year for the S&P 500, he only beat the market by 2.5% overall. But, you know, he's still beating the market, but is it worth that for 2.5% extra per year? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I pulled up in a basic investment calculator, and yes, 2.5% extra per year is indeed worth it. If he has a $150,000 starting balance, like this dude did, and you added $1,000 per month for 30 years, getting the return of the S&P 500 at 10% a year, after 30 years, your $150,000 plus the money invested would be $4.17 million. No one's going to be upset about that, right? But if you add that extra 2.5% that this dude was able to get from the Magic Formula, assuming it's 2.5% per year, outpacing the market, and then let's say you do the same numbers again, 30 years, starting with $150,000, you add $1,000 a month, you would end up with $3,000.996 and $800. That's right, $3,000 away from the $8 million mark. So an extra 2.5% over 30 years almost doubles your nest egg. And guess what? You didn't need an online calculator for that. Remember the rule 72 I talked about earlier? Well, guess what? If you'd just taken 72 divided by 2.5, it tells you that in about 28.8 years, your money is going to double. Pretty cool, right? Let's wrap this up. For this guy, if you're continuing to outpace the market by 2.5%, yes, it is going to be worth it, because instead of getting the index return of $4 million, you almost get $8 million. In full disclosure, I was intrigued enough to give this a try. Americans can invest $7,000 or so a year into their IRA. I think it's actually $7,500. So I put $5,000 into my normal IRA, which I always just buy the S&P 500 index fund. So I did that this year, and $5,000 is off doing whatever the S&P 500 is going to do. However, I took the other $2,000 and I opened up a new IRA to use the magic formula. I bought 30 stocks right away, so I messed up. I probably should have reread the book a little bit extra and did the whole quarterly buying thing. I goofed up and I bought them all one time. I went to magicformula.com and I blindly purchased basically $65 of shares of 30 different companies, and I really hope that Joel Greenblatt is right. In one IRA, I own 500 of America's best companies without thinking about it, and in this other new IRA, I bought 30 beat-up stocks from a schmimey-sounding magic formula website, and I really hope those 30 stocks crush the S&P 500. At least I hope that they beat them by 2.5% over the next 30 years. Come on, Buckle. Come on, Altria Group. Come on, Hewlett-Packard. Let's get it. Thanks for joining me today. I am crazy, probably. Should you be crazy? Probably not. But hey, that's why I search the financial world, so you don't have to. You can just come along for the ride and see if I'm making bad decisions. You've been listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investment ideas, market trends, and income streams, so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley. We'll see you next week. This podcast is produced and published by Oregon Trail Investor in the USA. All information is for entertainment purposes only. The brand This Is Investing is used under license.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.